Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes I go right. I went the right way, was left. Cause the scribbles look so sad. And who says you can win them all if you try?
Participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com, and also formerly SalamJournal.com and SalamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, let me say unto you all, As-salamu alaykum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful platform for truth, bar none, anywhere on the web. This is your platform for black education, black information, black edification, and black empowerment. This is the Star and Crescent Report, and our show today is titled The Dead Zone Memoirs, Entry Number 5, A World Unhinged. Let me say that again. Our title for today's show is The Dead Zone Memoirs, Entry Number 5, A World Unhinged. Because we see right now, and we see each and every day, as a matter of fact, we see it by the second, by the minute, by the hour, that the world is becoming more and more unhinged, unstable. And especially we see that everywhere within America, with the outbursts of racism, with the outbursts of violence, everywhere. The politicians making no sense, the government in turmoil, ready for more war and more war, and now we see the nations preparing for a rebuff of American aggression. This shows us that the world is unhinged, and I often and always say this on the show, this is a repeated theme to beat this into your brain, that all of these things are happening in the stated 60 to not exceed 70-year grace period. They didn't happen prior to. They are happening within this allotted time, especially with the earthquakes in diverse places. We see the Ring of Fire lit up. That's in the Pacific. That's all around the Pacific. We see it lit up. We see Yellowstone Park coming to life with the geysers and all of these things. And what they're saying is a super volcano underneath. We see it happening with the snowstorms. We see it with the tremendous heat. We see it with the rain, the hurricanes. We see it with the economic disaster that is ravaging the American economy and ravaging the world economy. And we see the people are becoming frantic. They're becoming anxious. They're going into panic mode. They're fearful of what they see now coming upon not only America, but the world that the white man once dominated. They know that everything is collapsing and falling apart right in front of us. So on that note, as I'm speaking of this, I'm going to share something with you. I'm going to share this clip with you. This is by Gregory Mannarino, okay? I want you to hear what he's talking about, okay? And the title of it, when he put it up there, this was, I think, yesterday or day before yesterday. The title of this is Post-Market Wrap-Up, The Cold Hard Truth. Can You Handle It? By Gregory Mannarino. So when he's talking in this clip, he's talking about what he sees, his perspective of what is taking place. Now, brothers and sisters, I just want you to listen to it and listen in his voice. And listen to how he even sees that things are unreal for his world. Things are unreal for him. And remember, for those of you who are avid listeners of the Star and Crescent Report, and let me stop right now. Here we go with this foolishness again. We are seeing calls being dropped. I'm going to have to say that. I say this at every opportunity on the show. Because of the tricks that the devil plays, especially with our listeners, because of these tricks, if you become disconnected, call back in. If they block you from calling back in, pause for a few seconds, up to 30 seconds to a minute, and call back in. If you get knocked off your URL, refresh your screen and log back in. These are just the tricks. These are just the methods that the devil used to try to disrupt the show and try to frustrate you and also me. But again, we can overcome the devil by resisting the devil. Tell him, get thee behind me, Satan. But, Mr. Mannarino, if you've listened to this show many times, brothers and sisters, you've noticed that all of these people who were big in hopes with Donald Trump, big as though he was the white savior, especially Gregory Mannarino and Peter Schiff, once coming to light, they have come over to the idea of what we have been telling you on the show, that they will be disillusioned with Trump. They will recognize and see that he is just another part of this corrupt system, right? Remember, it's still hard for some of them to grasp because they were looking for a way out. When you're desperate, when you're frantic, when you're in panic mode, and when you're looking for something to hold on to, you'll grasp at anything, and some of them are still grasping at Donald Trump trying to justify this, but Mannarino is waking up. Peter Schiff is waking up, and there are other prognosticators and pundits and investors who are waking up, and they're coming over to in agreement with the Star and Crescent Report about how all of this stuff is made up, and all of these people are just two sides to the same coin. But I just want you to listen to Mr. Mannarino, okay? Some of the stuff he'll venture off a little bit here and there. He'll mumble a little bit. But the core of what he's talking about, what he sees coming to the system, and what he says is about Donald Trump being a part of the system. I want you to pay close attention to this. Because with this, this lets you know that the judgment has become so intense, so real, that even those who have been blinded by Western or white arrogance and privilege are starting to wake up to the reality that this is the end of days for their world. And this is why their world is becoming totally unhinged. Dead Zone Memoirs, entry number 5, A World Unhinged. I want you to pay close attention to this, okay? Here we are.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Gregory Mannarino, back for my post-market wrap-up on this Tuesday, January 15, 2019. What's wrong with this picture? And it's not me with this tie that's not done here. I'm getting myself ready for this, and I'm probably going to get some flack. I don't care. I don't. But let's talk. You and me, we need to sit down and have a nice little chat. And that's exactly what we're going to do here on this lovely day. Let's start off with the basics. So, yet another over 200-point swing in the Dow Jones Industrial Average today. As a matter of fact, we made several triple-digit runs higher and lower throughout the lovely day. Yes, stocks did finish higher. At the high, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, again, was up about 190 points. The low, about 20. We finished up by about 155, despite the fact that we got several rounds of pretty abysmal economic news and poor earnings. Doesn't matter. We are literally back in the Obama-era market. So with that said, I want to put a little light on a couple of things here. So what has been going on as of late? Okay. Let's talk about the Federal Reserve. Let's specifically zero in on the lovely Janet Yellen. You know, they dusted her off lately, and we've been seeing a lot of poor Janet lately. You know, she's being puppetized. She's being used right now because Powell doesn't work. Every time they parade this guy out, Powell, the current Fed chair, when they parade him out, the market doesn't respond the right way. So they got Yellen out again, a part of the Obama market team, to prop up this stock market. And it's working. I mean, it is working. No doubt about it. She shows her face. She does that little smile. She's like, is that sweet, sweet lady? you know, she comes out and all of a sudden the stock market starts, I was going to say something. I won't do it. I won't do that here right now at the present time. But the stock market starts getting a rise. You got my drift on that one? Okay, I think you do. So, what else did they do today? Again, in the face of bad economic news, in the face of poor earnings, well, they parade out not one, but two Fed presidents to say, hold on a minute. The Fed needs to stop here. Kashkari was one of them, and I forget who the other troll was. Some hideous-looking thing that they paraded out there. Same story. Fed needs to back off. You know, so hold on a minute. So the Fed needs to keep rates low. What does that mean? Okay. Let's put a little perspective on that. That means that the Fed has to print cash out of thin air and buy the debt to keep rates suppressed. They can't just say it. You know that if you follow this blog. Fed has no magical powers. They actually have to get into the market. So let's see. China's not buying our debt now for almost a year. We now have, I mean, confirmation that the Federal Reserve is going to continue to keep rates low, print cash out of thin air, but their balance sheet is shrinking. How does that work? It's a lie. When you go to the Federal Reserve's website and you see the numbers going down, just laugh. Laugh as loud as you possibly can. I don't know, call random people and just laugh into the phone. Because, you know, you gotta discharge your, whatever you're trying to discharge, somewhere. It's got to go somewhere. So you might as well go to random people. Or maybe you want to tweet the president or something. Now, let's talk about this real quick. If you had to guess, what is the one thing that our president is doing right now different than every single other world leader and their world central bank, what would it be? I'll count to like, how about right now? How about this? Zero. Every single world leader is doing exactly the same thing with their central bank. And that is having them print fiat currency out of thin air, buy debt, which is not on the elemental chart anywhere. It's just doesn't even really exist, to prop everything up, keep rates suppressed from here until kingdom freaking come. Now, a lot of effort has gone into getting the Fed to capitulate here, and again, I took my hat off to the president several times for this, but again, they're all playing the debt game. Let's talk about the debt game. Well, let's back up. Here in the United States, you know this, or at least you should, debts and deficits continue to explode like we've never seen before. I'm not pulling this out of a hat. We're buying jobs. We're buying the stock market. That's all we're doing right now in the stock market. Is an entity among itself completely disconnected from reality. But again, it's the Fed put. It's the Trump Fed put under the market. Now let's talk a little, let's go back and look at the bigger picture. Here we are. We are now. Global debt has now hit a record high of $244 trillion. That is three times the current global economy. What could go wrong? Okay. Maybe nothing. Maybe it'll be 100,000 billion times the world economy. Okay. So should it be any secret to you that all the leaders of the world, including our president, who's supposed to end the Fed, according to some very misguided people out here, they're all doing the same thing? I don't believe in coincidences that big, okay? No, I'm sorry to explain this to you for those who are of that mentality, who are being fist-fed by some of the misfits. I'm going to start referring to them as misfits here on YouTube that are pushing that narrative that that the president wants to end the Fed and is on track to do that. Again, let's put it into perspective. He now has the Fed doing exactly what the Fed wants. The power of world central banks exists in one thing, to issue debt in greater and greater amounts. It's their only product. Their product is debt. With every single world leader, not one exception, doing the same things at the same time at the behest of their central bank should tell you something, okay? Our president needs the Federal Reserve right now to keep the market propped up, to backstop the market. He went as far as to send his guy, Mnuchin, can't even say the guy's name right, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, to six of the world's largest banks on Wall Street who run the Fed. You know that, right? You know that. So you can see where this is going. So stop being fist-fed. Stop being fist-fed. Don't believe a word of it anymore from any soul on YouTube or anywhere else that's trying to tell you that the president is trying to end the Fed. The president of the United States needs the Fed, wants the Fed, is in bed with the Fed, and everything else you can think about with the Fed, as every world leader is doing the same thing. So I'm not beating up on the president here. All right, so because I know I'm going to get hate mail in this kind of way I'm wearing this here because I'm ready for it. I got a lot of hate mail today. Anyway, that's beside the point. So we have debts and deficits exploding, feeding the monster, feeding the $244 trillion global debt monster that we are in right now. Three times world, the entire world economy. It's three times the entire world economy right now with no end in sight, just like here in the United States. Our debts and deficits will continue to explode with no end in sight. And that will be, that's done on purpose to keep the Fed getting stronger. And every other world central bank, the more debt they can issue, the stronger they become. Why do you think they paraded out the lovely, and I must say pretty freaking hot, Janet Yellen, and the other two Frankenstein creations known as Fed presidents to say, oh, no, we got to keep rates low here. Why do Fed presidents now sound like the President of the United States? I'll let you ponder that, all right? It's pretty out there. It really is. The distortions are just immense. Only going to get worse here as the world runs off the rails on a crazy train. Good song. Anyway, it is. It's like a crazy train, isn't it? Anyway, so let's back up. Let's summarize here. Stocks finished higher today on the back of bad economic news, poor earnings, with the promise of more easy money, with the promise of suppressed rates, making sure the Fed gets stronger. Every day that the Fed does this, they become stronger. Every day that World Central Bank issue their product, they all become stronger. All right? And not one world leader has any interest right now in fixing the problem. And I've discussed at length how it can be fixed, and I won't touch on it here again. I'm done doing that. Go if you want to see what it is, go through my archives or ask somebody about it because I'm frankly sick of talking about it because it doesn't matter. Not going to happen in this reality that we're in. Twisted. All right, with that said, ponder these things. Ponder these things. And
so you hear from him the situation that the world finds itself in. Now, what's ironic about this, as Gregory Mannarino was talking, I decided to just do a little Google search, right, of the debt. And even though he says the debt has reached 200 and some trillion dollars, so I did I just pretty much put in, let me go back and see what I put in. I just put in the words, global debt reaches all-time high 2019. I just put that in there in my tablet. I'm talking to you on two laptops, but I'm looking at my tablet, my handheld tablet. And so a lot of things come up, and I keep seeing this. Global debt reaches record high of $184 trillion. And I'm saying, huh, something's not right here. So I kept scrolling. All of the articles, Business Standard, Marketplace, RT, Macro Business, the Hindu Business Line, all of these things and was talking about $184 trillion. And I'm saying, well, this does not sit well with what was just said and what is being reported. So I go to CNBC, and this is an article and a report that was done in July of last year. I want you to listen closely to what I'm saying. This is what I'm telling you about how they pick and choose numbers to justify what they're saying or to mislead you, right? So, in this article by CNBC in July, July 11th, 2018, they talked about the global debt. Now, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm not the butter knife that's in the drawer either. Now, if things have become way worse now than they were at the time of July of last year and the debt has exploded, right? Because within a, within a 2 or 3 month period, just in America alone, the on-books number is that Trump had spent over $1 trillion plus, right? That alone should tell you that they've spent trillions of dollars in America. And that should tell you that if America is doing it, then the nations are doing it to try to prop up theirs. So we're saying multiple trillions and upon trillions and upon trillions of dollars have been spent. And we're not, we were just talking about the last two or three months, right? Now, in this article, you're going to see what I'm talking about in just a sec. In this article that was written July 11th from CNBC, and it's titled Global Debt Hits a New Record at $247 Trillion. What? Say what? How is the global debt $240-some trillion right now, right here, this year, in January 2019, when this article was written July 11th, 2018? Huh? I'm asking you. And this is what it says, and this is what it talks about, the $186 trillion. This is how it puts it in perspective that all of the other articles, which were written around the same time, was kept talking about the $180-some trillion. So he says in this article, he says, well, she says, it's written by Natasha Turok. Global debt has hit another high. And remember, as I'm reading this, this is July 11th, 2018. Global debt has hit another high, climbing to $247 trillion in the first quarter. Listen, the first quarter of 2018. So even though this was written in July, they were writing it about the first quarter of 2018. And we know to make a whole, it takes 4 quarters. Is that not right? So it must have been talking about the first 3 months of 2018. So how in the hell in 2019, in the first month of 2019, the global debt is still at $247 trillion? You understand? Let's go a little further. Global debt has hit another high, climbing to $247 trillion in the first quarter of 2018, according to a report published Wednesday. Of that figure, now we get to the 186. Of that figure, the non-financial sector accounted for $186 trillion. So we see the other reports, only $186 trillion, are not telling you about the total global debt at the time. They are telling you about the non-financial, whatever that means. How can being in debt $186 trillion be non-financial? That right there is just off the chain. But anyway, let's go further. Because I'm showing you how unhinged these people are. I'm showing you how deceptive they are. I'm trying to show you that they will do anything to mask the depth of their losses. Okay? And this was just on a Google search while Gregory Mannarino was talking. Okay, so let's go further. The debt-to-GDP ratio has exceeded 318%, marking its first quarterly rise in 2 years. God, dog. That means global debt, 318%. Now, I'm going to go further, but I want to ask you, because we have to put on our thinking cap. Do you believe that you can sustain your household or your standard of living by constantly spending in deficit? Huh? If your paycheck is $5,000 a month, right? And you're spending over three times what you're making. If you're spending that monthly, how long does it take you, or how long do you think that you can stay afloat? I'm asking you. And the same rules apply to governments. Do you understand? So if you don't believe that you can sustain your standard of living, your livelihood, your family's security and livelihood by spending over nearly three and a half times as much as you make, and you're spending it weekly and monthly, if you know and common sense tells you that this is a recipe for disaster and an unsustainable course that you have put yourself and your family's livelihood on, what does that say about the nation of America, and what that does that say about the global outlook of nations around the globe? I'm asking you this because this is common sense, but since it's not so common these days in this world and in this crazed atmosphere of illusion and lies. But let's go further, okay? You still with me, brothers and sisters? Just walk with me a little bit. It says, the global debt has hit another high, climbing to $247 trillion in the first quarter of 2018. So now it's repeating that. So again, how in the hell can you discard $186 trillion and say this is non-financial? Okay. According to the report published Wednesday, of that figure, the non-financial sector accounted for $186 trillion. See how they repeated that? They bring, when an article or when a person repeats something, or you see a common thread in that, they are bringing something to light to you. They're trying to emphasize something to you. Because in repetition, they're trying to make you learn something. Okay? Let's go further. The debt to gross domestic product ratio has exceeded 318%, making its first quarterly rise in 2 years, the report by the Institute of International Finance said, the IIF. This is amid record levels of corporate and household debt in many mature markets. The unprecedented debt load is one of several investors' concerns, in addition to worries about the Federal Reserve's monetary policy tightening and the impact of a trade war. Now, in this, they're talking about the Fed talking about tightening up its money print, which we know that didn't happen. They're talking about the trade war, the impact of the trade war, but they did not mention the credit card debt. They did not mention student debt, right? They did not mention your private debt. So now we're looking at something of a magnitude and a scale unheard of, right? Especially if they say the global output, the global economy is between $35 and $65 trillion. This means that they have become, they put themselves in a situation that even if the world, just like Elijah Muhammad said, even if the world joined hands in, they could not free themselves from what God has set out for them. You understand? I hope you are listening in very carefully, because they have fallen headlong into the debt trap. See, this is what you don't understand. That chapter on page, which starts on page 87 of Fall of America, which I don't have right next to me at this moment, when he talks about when the world went off the gold and silver standard, this was a catch-22. This was a trap. A banger's rope around the neck of an arrogant power. God enticed them when they saw that they can take the world off the gold and silver standard, and they can print money, and they can expand the empire. All while they were doing this, they were blowing up bubbles. And bubbles can only expand so far until they reach their limits and explode or pop. And we know that the gold and silver transfer has taken place from the west to the east. Therein lies the denominal value of the economies, right? I hope you're listening to me. Because in that chapter titled The Decline of the Dollar, and Elijah Muhammad says that this was they had no financial backing, no sound financial backing for the dollar, he said it meant 100% inflation. He's talking about hyperinflation. Because you have nothing to back your dollar up with. So America has been backing her dollar up with the petrol aspect of things, not petrodollar, because the petrodollar is the actual thing. So we're going to say she's been backing it up with the threat of the use of force, the threat of sanctions, and the perception of being bagged by oil. But all of those illusions and facades are being wiped away with the rise of the euro, with the rise of the yuan, with the strengthening of the yuan and the strengthening of the relationship between the People's Republic of China and the Russian Federation. You understand what I'm saying? So it has been undercut and undermined the basis of the dollar value. I hope you're hearing. And without any confidence in America having the gold supplies, the silver supplies, to bag her money that she has printed up in infinitum, it brings her to the edge of the abyss economically. And this is causing her leaders, the leadership, and the nation to become unhinged. And this is why you're seeing them making missteps everywhere around the globe, not just America, but Europe also. The European nations are fighting for their survival because they understand that the greatest pillar of white or Western domination is America. And as that pillar weakens and crumbles, so too does their colonial dreams of dominating forever Africa, dominating forever Asia, dominating forever South and Central America and the Caribbean. All of this is interconnected. Oh, black man and black woman, it's a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the last and the greatest of the messengers of God. Let us go further. Listen closely. She says, the unprecedented debt load is one of several investors' concerns, in addition to worries about the Federal Reserve's monetary policy tightening and the impact of a trade war. It's the debt in the corporate sector that market players should be worried about, says Joseph Livorno, chief America's economist at Natexis. But listen what it says. It says, the corporate sector is highly leveraged and could be very vulnerable to higher interest rates. He warned, explaining in a research note that a primary reason corporate debt to GDP is so high is thanks to interest rates being historically low due to quantitative easing and forward guidance. How in the world I know that was leading to that? Remember what I just told you about that? About how God enticed America to unhinge her dollar and Britain to unhinge the pound? This is why I constantly tell you in that chapter on page 87, when Elijah Muhammad talks about the world coming off the gold and silver standard, he writes it in such a way, he says, when the world went off the gold and silver standard, the financial doom of England and America instead. He didn't say the financial doom. You would think, because it's in a book titled The Fall of America, America would come before England, but he did not do that. Why? Because London was still the center of the world's gold exchange and the silver exchange and the monetary system that is predicated on white supremacy. It was London. And New York is tied to London and vice versa. So he said when the world went off the gold and silver standard, the financial doom of England and America was sealed. You understand? Oh, black man, black woman. You see, even in this article, they are proving Elijah Muhammad right and exact. Let's go further. He says, The corporate sector is highly leveraged and could be very vulnerable to higher interest rates. That's just like saying that you are, this is a neat way of saying that you are buried under debt. When they say highly leveraged, they're talking about mountains of debt And how you, listen to me good, I have to say these things. Sometimes when I'm talking to you, I have to pause for a minute and I have to give you an example, or I have to give an analogy of something, or I have to point out something, because it seems like we overlook the main things, like on the last show or the show before last when we talked, and I pointed out to you the main connoisseurs or the main recipients of housing aid, Social Security, welfare, and all of this stuff, and most people didn't know or understand that it was white people that was receiving it. And the same it is with corporate welfare. But it's on a grander scale with corporate welfare. It's not in the 35s and the 45% that among the average white people when it comes to Social Security and food stamps and housing and energy aid and welfare and all that stuff. When it comes to corporate aid, the white people of America takes nearly all of the pie. You understand? And that is a form of welfare for the rich. But nobody screams about that. And so because they've been taking on this aid and they've been leveraging their companies to debt, all while awarding themselves millions and tens of millions and hundreds of millions of dollars in bonuses. See, all this coming back to bite you. Greed, arrogance, ego, hubris. All of these things are death knells to an empire. You understand? So Muhammad says, the woman that wrote this article, what is her name? Natasha Turek. That's Natasha, T-U-R-A-K, Natasha Turek. And she says, the corporate sector is highly leveraged and could be very vulnerable to higher interest rates. How can you be vulnerable to higher interest rates? If you're leveraged, you're buried in debt. That means the debt has an advantage over your assets. You understand? You understand? So let's go further. She says, explaining in a research note that a primary reason corporate to debt GDP is so high is thanks to interest rates being historically low due to quantitative easing and forward guidance. This is talking about printing of money. As you print money, you only have so much gold, so much silver to back your money. If you continue to print it, the money, the backing of that money becomes more scarce and more scarce, so you are robbing your currency of value. Are you understanding what I'm saying? This is what Elijah Muhammad talking about. When they had no sound backing for the currency. So to continue to print money, and these people to continue to receive it and continue to spend it and continue to leverage out what assets they have puts them in a very, very vulnerable position. See, in 73, 71, they thought they had gotten away with it. And they believe that if they can leverage other people's assets, and if we can threaten the nations to accept our dollar, and if we can deploy our warships, warplanes, missiles, and weaponry and troops around the globe, we can threaten the world to accept our dollar and continue to accept our dollar because we are the most powerful nation on earth. And we can live as an empire unlike Rome and unlike Greece and unlike ancient Egypt. We can continue to rule without rival. And God helped them to feed upon their arrogance. And they became inebriated with, I am the exceptional nation. And they are waking up out of their drunken slumber to the reality that their plans have tanked. And the nation is taking on water. And this economic and financial Titanic cannot be saved. You understand me? Let's go a little further. Now, remember, I'm reading this with you for the first time. So let's go further. Firms have used artificially low rates to borrow in the capital market. I just told you that. And I told you that in simple terms. They're telling you this, and they're trying to talk to you in big words. But he says, firms have used artificially low rates to borrow in the capital market and only buy back stock in the equity market. Lavorna said, The inherent instability of debt over equity financing suggests that the next downturn could hit investment spending usually hard. I just laid it out to you. It goes further and says, this is not a real long article, but I want to read this to you because I just want you to see how and understand. If Mr. Manarino says that the new report that just came out says that global debt has reached a high of 240-some trillion, right? How is that possible when an article in July 11 said the same thing about the January, February months, I think the fiscal year, and then January, February, and March is the first quarter of the new year? If it happened then, how in the hell can we have the same numbers? Huh? I'm asking. Then the debt has grown progressively worse. The quantitative easing has become progressively worse. All of the economic barometers which judge the progress of a nation and the progression of a society and the progression of the global economy have become greater, or worse, I should say, worse than ever before. So how can we still be stuck at $247 trillion? I'm asking you these things. Because no one does. No one puts these questions to you. No one is involved in this. No one is concerned about it. But herein lies your salvation. You're looking at the decline and fall of the Western world. You're looking at the fall of the American Republican Empire. You're looking at the rise of the black nation here in America and globally. Because if these things don't happen, you don't go free. You understand? So let's go a little further. Market volatility and likely inflation due to a trade war, which is currently brewing between the U.S. and China, could in this case have an outsized effect on assets, analysts have cautioned. But so far, markets have been surprisingly resilient, according to Mike Thompson, president at S&P's Investment Advisory Service. Why have markets been, surprisingly resilient? It's because of the plunge protection team feeding the markets money off the black books of the government. But this will have a negative effect over the long run because this puts more money into the system and it also devalues the money that is already in the system even further. You understand? Catch 22. They've been caught in the snare, the divine snare. I hope you're listening. So let's go a little further. The eclectic and somewhat volatile style and the way this stuff comes up, we're talking about $200 billion of a $17 trillion trade. It's more meaningful than in the past, he said, referencing President Donald Trump's latest tariffs threat on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods. But markets have done a good job of becoming more and more desensitized at the trade rhetoric. Stock futures were down across the board for the U.S., Europe, and Asia on Wednesday morning. Remember, this is in July 11, 2018, they're talking about this, okay? Now, I'm going to stop right there. Let's see. I'm going to stop right there on this article because it is very important that I bring something to your attention. There's an article today. Now, remember, as they were talking about the global debt and they were talking about markets being resilient and we were explaining how the plunge protection team was putting in money and how they were just talking about the trade war, what could be spelled disaster and doom for America is that trade war with China, right? And remember how the latest reports in the news for the last few weeks were talking about how China is losing the trade war. And China will lose the trade war because China needs the U.S. markets. And I kept telling you on this show that China is already winning the trade war. Remember that? Well, the conservative news magazine called the Washington Standard, you can go look at WashingtonStandard.com. Their article for January the 16th, which was yesterday, headline says, U.S. loses big in trade war. Imports rose, exports slashed. So it had the opposite effect of what Trump was going for. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is what God said. She would suffer loss after loss after loss, and nothing that she had planned would go according to the way that she wants it to go, because God has caught their minds, and he is driving them insane and doing things which they believe would benefit the country, but which turns out to be more detrimental to the livelihood and the security of the nation. This is the judgment, black man and black woman. That's the weekly standard. I didn't write that, even though I told you about it. And then on the same morning, January the 16th, which was yesterday, Market Watch comes out. And this is what it says about what they see about the American economy. The headline, I'm just going to read the headline. I'm not going to read the article. I'm going to read the headline to show you what they fear. The average stock signals a market teetering on the edge of another crash. Then how in the hell can they tell us on TV that the economy is bustling and booming when they're writing the average stock signals a market teetering on the edge of another crash? That doesn't seem like a rebound. That does not seem like a bustling and booming economy. The devil is a liar, and if you believe him like that, he'll have you turned upside down, inside out, backwards and forwards in any other way. So we see what is going on. The markets are in turmoil. They are in trouble. As a matter of fact, let me play this clip here about PG&E and how they have been reporting of the bankruptcy. I have been reporting on this for a while on the show, and now the articles have come out. And also, I want to thank RT. I want to thank, Bloomberg. I want to thank CNBC. And I want to thank, it's another news site, that have, they must be reading the articles that I write, because not 48 hours later, they will come out with an article that's almost similarly titled as an article that I put out on the Hiram's 1555 blog. Imitation is one of the best forms of flattery. And I'm flattered that you would think so, even though I give you credit when I use your article. You could give me credit, or you can give the Hiram's 1555 blog credit, that you take the headlines and you twist them up and all this stuff and you change it just a little bit, just enough where it can be called your own. But I want you to listen to this about what they see coming with the bankruptcy of this. And then we're going to go back to something that I wanted to play two shows ago about the coming famine, okay, and what they see coming to America and what they see just coming. But I want you to pay close attention to this, okay? And I don't know if we're going to play the whole clip. We may play parts of it. But I'm trying to get your minds acclimated with the current state of economic affairs. Again, how in the world is the economy bustling along when more and more stores, more and more banks, more and more businesses are shuttering? Look at the state of Sears and Kmart, iconic brands of the American Republic, and the trouble that they are in. Look at all of these banks shuttering branches. Look at everywhere you go. You're seeing businesses close, and what this white man does to keep your mind fascinated. As businesses close, you'll see them building out there. This is what the Bible warned you of. You'll see them building and marrying and giving into marrying. This is the deception they put on you. Why in the hell would you go and build a new building when you got 30 or 40 old buildings right there empty? But this is what they do to keep you believing that the economy is bustling. They'll shutter three or four businesses, then you'll see them construction workers building up another building. Doesn't even make sense for those who have a sound mind and sound thinking. Doesn't even make sense. But listen to what they're saying. Here we go.
Welcome to the Silver Report Uncut. Now, PG&E is the talk of the town right now. They're planning bankruptcy. And one thing that's going on, now, if you're not familiar with PG&E Corporation, it's a California utility giant, okay? They're facing billions of dollars in liabilities as a result of the wildfires that took place. Many employees could have their jobs on the line right now because what's going on, they may notify employees as soon as Monday that is preparing for a potential bankruptcy filing. Now, the San Francisco-based utility owner, they're planning to send the notice to fulfill a state law. It requires the company to alert workers
I'm going to replay that again. I just wanted to interject. Did you hear what he said about all of this economic trouble that's coming upon this company? And it's due to the judgment, the forces of nature. This is what Elijah Muhammad was telling you about. Not only will America suffer losses abroad, and she would have to spend on her war machine, and she would have to spend, but she would have domestic crisis after crisis. And even with the forces of nature, they would bring upon a debt burden that she was not used to. All of these things put together will break a nation. And we're seeing America being broken by Almighty God as predicted by the prophets of old. It is a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now let's listen to what he was saying again.
Welcome to Silver Report Uncut. Now, PG&E is the talk of the town right now. They're planning bankruptcy. And one thing that's going on, now, if you're not familiar with PG&E Corporation, it's a California utility giant, okay? They're facing billions of dollars in liabilities as a result of the wildfires that took place. Many employees could have their jobs on the line right now because what's going on, they may notify employees as soon as Monday that is preparing for a potential bankruptcy filing. Now, the San Francisco-based utility owner, they're planning to send the notice to fulfill a state law. It requires the company to alert workers at least 15 days before a change of control. The notice wouldn't necessarily make a bankruptcy filing certain, and of course, the company could still decide not to go through it if the situation changes. But just how quickly this is accelerating is alarming. Now, a notice, it may signal that the company has accelerated plans to make a Chapter 11 filing as a way of dealing with the crippling liabilities that tore through California in 2017, 2018, all that huge damage that took place. Investigators are probing whether PG&E's equipment ignited the blazes, so what we see is that the company is facing as much as $30 billion in damages. It's a prospect that has wiped out two-thirds of PG&E's market value. Its bonds have been plummeting to record lows. And it's also prompting the rating companies to downgrade PG&E's debt to junk. And keep in mind, this is 18 years after becoming one of America's largest bankruptcies ever. And Jeff Casella is a Moody's analyst. He said, quote, "The company is increasingly reliant on extraordinary interventions by legislatures and regulators, which may not occur soon enough or be of sufficient magnitude to address these adverse developments." Because California has a history of bailing out this company anyway. During the 2001 bankruptcy, we saw Gray Davis, he used the state's treasury to bail out PG&E, a controversy that ultimately contributed to him being outed from the position. PG&E emerged from bankruptcy in April 2004, and they needed to return $10.2 billion to creditors. Because keep in mind, for those of you who think this is really small, it's not an important story, apparently this company is too big to fail for California. Because it's not just them that's failing, it's all of these companies that are affiliated with them or connected to them. I mean, Citigroup, they called it a crisis of confidence. Guggenheim Securities, they're the ones who said that PG&E is like a falling knife. Most analysts do see PG&E as an isolated case. But when you're talking about the largest California utility, which is too big to fail, several times officials needed to step in to bail out this company. Now it's on the verge of bankruptcy. So we really need to begin to wonder just how contained this particular shock to the system is going to be. One thing is clear. For California residents, the shock to your wallets will be what's most unpleasant because rates are about to surge one way or another. PG&E, just like AIG, is following the exact same path. This is the end for this company. But it's much more than that. Because the biggest surprises involving this California utility company is how it's even possible. And the company reportedly contemplating a DIP loan ahead of possible bankruptcy filing. But even though the stocks were plunging, the bonds were cratering, the rating agencies, they still had the company rated as investment grade. I mean, it was only Monday that the S&P became the first rating agency to take a chop to its rating for PG&E. It downgraded the company 5 notches, actually. It's currently at the 5th highest junk rating, but there's warning more cuts are imminent. So S&P/PG&E's IG rating, Fitch and Moody were silent, even though the company is completely collapsing. And of course, people understood things are bad, and of course, they were concerned. Both management, shareholders, bondholders, they all would have trouble. Because if Fitch and Moody's were to similarly junk PG&E's IG ratings be an exact rerun of AIG. And then Thursday rolled around, and Moody's did precisely that. Cut the utility's credit rating to junk, citing the electric company's potential liabilities. Fitch and Moody's also lowered PG&E's rating by 5 notches. And they also added the utility Pacific Gas and Electric. They slashed that 4 levels. But just like S&P, Fitch and Moody's said that they may cut the company further. The PG&E shares and bonds, they've been sliding ever since. Because it's not just the prospect of more downgrades that is really making people concerned. It's really the fact, with these two junk ratings, PG&E is now going to be required to use cash as collateral to guarantee power contracts. And that's according to the company's latest quarterly filing. That estimates the utility will have to fully collateralize as much as 800 million of positions. That's a serious problem because PG&E only had 430 million of cash on its books in September. So this is an imminent liquidity crisis. That's $30 billion in liabilities that has pushed a utility giant straight into insolvency. And on top of that, its junk credit ratings, they assure that the company is going to have to pay more to borrow for the next years and years to come. And it's interesting because the company's 3.5% bonds due next year, they're currently yielding more than 9.9%. That's far above where most high-yield securities are paying. It's really a level reserved for deeply distressed credits. And according to Moody's, they released a statement that said, quote, "We see a much more challenging environment for PG&E." So the problem is there's no good news. When you count that nearly $1 billion in cash collateral the company must somehow find and post immediately. Now, California passed legislation last year in the aftermath of the Wine County fires, and they required utilities to post public notices for employees at least 15 days before a change of control, including bankruptcy hearings. Now, Gavin Newsom, he's the governor of California, he said during a press conference Thursday that his office is going to be making an announcement related to PG&E within the next few days, and that the issue was at the top of his agenda. He said in a later interview that the announcement would involve appointments to the California Public Utilities Commission, the state's grid operators, and to a commission established by legislatures to explore wildfire issues. So this deepening financial crisis has now begun to spread to other companies. That's what makes it so serious. Not only the companies that supply its natural gas and generate electricity for its customers, but at least 2 small gas suppliers have restricted sales to PG&E out of concern the company's not going to be able to pay. And banks are beginning to take a long, hard look at the potential $2 billion debt financing for the geysers, the world's largest geothermal complex, because it supplies PG&E. On Thursday, S&P Global Ratings also cut the credit rating of Berkshire Hathaway Energy's in 550-megawatt Topaz solar farms. They cut that down to junk status as well, noting that the plant counts solely on PG&E for all of its revenues. Finances aren't the only problem that PG&E is having right now. So apart from financial woes, we still have this confidence crisis that's going on Wall Street. And from the credit downgrades, we saw more than $16 billion of market value just completely disappear from the stock. In fact, California power giants bonds were among the biggest decliners in the high yield market Friday. And on Thursday, you know, meetings were going on at the California Public Utilities Commission, and crowds of people were showing up with cries of perjury. And of course, last but not least, S&P Global Ratings credit analyst Gabe Grossberg, he said in a statement, quote, "This is beyond an isolated episode and outside industry norms and leads to an adverse impact on the company's reputation." And the turbulence at the California Public Utilities Commission meeting really ended up what began as a procedural meeting into a shouting match. What they were upset about is fighting efforts to pass costs to customers for billions of dollars in these liabilities. And the state regulators definitely disappointed investors by failing to offer assurances that they're going to help keep this utility solvent. And then you add on top of that the very pleasant and mild winter we've been having all along. It really hasn't helped much to be able to put more cash in the coffers. Well, it looks like this is going to spell the end for PG&E, along with all of their employees, along with all of those other companies affiliated and connected. And it could send shockwaves through California's economic powerhouse. That's right. Most people out there are not really fond of California, but one thing that they do well is make money. The problem is, with a supplier as large as PG&E, it could send shockwaves through their entire system and leave the place in shambles. Either way, we'll keep an eye on it. We'll see how far this contagion spreads. And if you live in that area, I feel bad for you right now. Not just because of this, but, I mean, come on, seriously, it's California. Not only through high taxation do they make it a really miserable existence for the people that live there, and all that despite the, you know, historic housing, people are finding themselves in a predicament in which necessary services could really cripple the citizens of the beautiful state of California. How you can take such a beautiful place and somehow find a way to make the people who live there so miserable. All this, it's just beyond me.
So, we're talking about how the energy giant of California is having problems and going belly up, and how all of these places are dependent on it, and all of these jobs are dependent on that, and how the storms are putting an unheard-of burden on these so-called energy giants. But as he was saying it, I was getting ready to go to something else, but as he was saying that, something stuck out to me. So I want to go to Fall of America. I want to just bring something in. When the Honorable Elijah Muhammad talks about the four great judgments of America. And in this, he says, and I'm going to go down to the bottom of the page for those of you who are following along, 157. At the bottom of the page, he says, snow is the most dreaded plague when it comes in great drifts from 5 to 35 feet. It buries property, your properties and lives. It destroys your highways, your cities, and your concrete and gravel in towns and cities. Listen to this part. It puts a great burden of expense upon the cities. It puts a great burden of expense upon the cities to repair it. What is the problem with this? The burden of expense is growing too great. And now the country has been getting ready to get hit again by a massive storm. Do you understand? I hope you understand that this is the judgment. God is going to bring, and he is bringing America to her knees. And they're talking about, in the other clip that we've talking about how things are inflation and how businesses are crumbling and collapsing and how quantitative easing is destroying the currency. This is, goes back to eating. If you have no value currency to buy the food, even if there were food, the only way to eat is to take it. This means riots and revolution and insurrection within the borders of America. This is why America is arming her police forces. Do you know that? This is one of the main reasons why she's arming her police forces. Because the military is so preoccupied with war and the expansion of war, trying to continue the empire's expansion, because as soon as the empire stalls, it implodes. And just like with any parasite, it must continue to feed upon a host or it dies. So she's arming and training her police forces around the country. She's training them through the Israeli Defense Forces, the criminal organization that are occupying Palestine. She's doing all these things. She's arming them with military-grade weaponry because she understands what's coming to her borders. All right? Brothers and sisters, please don't be mad at me for explaining these things to you. Matter of fact, I just want you to listen to what we were going to play this the 1st of January. But I just want you to listen to what they're saying about what they've said about crops failures and all of this stuff that's coming and that has happened, because I want you to understand where we are in the judgment, okay? Don't be mad at me. Just give it. Forget about your religion. Forget about what you believe. Just listen to what they're saying, okay? That's all I'm asking of you. And then after you hear this stuff, put it on a scale of facts and weigh it. That's what I'm asking. Give it a fair shake, a fair hearing, because your lives could depend on this and do depend on this. So I want you to pay close attention to this, all right?
Welcome to Silver Report Uncut. And now, there's big talk going on about some changes that are going on. Now, it's Professor Valentina Zarkova. She gave a presentation of her climate and solar magnetic field hypothesis at the Global Warming Policy Foundation. Now, it was pretty stunning what she found in her research. And it only goes to show that there has been some changes,
And now, if most of you are not aware, but, you know, we've talked about it several times, that this was a year that we began market gardening and really started our farm off this year. And it was really difficult getting things going, but we had an amazing spring. But one thing that has taken place not only this year, but the previous few years, is just being doused with rain. We got some really heavy rains to where it rained for almost a week through July at a time when it's normally at its driest. And it really caused a lot of crop failure, mass crop failure. And this isn't only isolated to the United States. It was an unprecedented year for crop failure around the world. I mean, it was really to the point where many countries were on the brink of not even having anything to harvest, even as close as Europe. Now, what we see, Zarkova models solar sunspot and magnetic activity. So her models, they run around a 93% accuracy. So what she's saying is that this is only the beginning, that it could get much worse. And what she's talking about is not necessarily warming, but her findings suggest a super grand solar minimum could begin in 2020. Now, it's not that far. I mean, Happy New Year, by the way. We're here now in 2019. So it's called a super grand solar minimum. Now, what it does, it has four magnetic fields out of phase. And there was about 40 to 60 years of cold weather 350 years ago. This was a Maunder minimum of lower solar activity. The historical cold weather had two magnetic fields out of phase. So Zarkova is predicting a cooling effect that is 2.5 to 4 times larger than the Maunder minimum. Zarkova's analysis, it shows an 8 watts per square meter decrease in total solar irradiance. A 2015 Nature study looked at a 2 watts per square meter decrease, causing a 0.13 degree Celsius effect. That's a 4 times larger effect, would result somewhere around 0.5 degrees Celsius. But Zarkova believes the warming models are including the warming effect of increased solar activity. But if she's correct, there would be cooling, and the warming models would be wrong. And the reason behind this is that numerous studies have identified links between past climate and solar variability during the Maunder minimum. That was from 1645 to 1715. Very few sunspots were seen despite regular observations. And I'm sure if they had data tracking that time, you would probably see a really dramatic decline in the fertility during that time, or people having children. Productivity would really decline at a time when we have such an extended period of a solar minimum. This is like 40, 50, 60 years. And so what we see, if the past relationships between both the TSI and ultraviolet irradiance in sunspots are the same as observed for modern solar variability, then a decline in both TSI and ultraviolet for this period can be assumed. So the Maunder minimum coincided with more severe winters in the UK and the continental Europe, and many reconstructions suggest atmospheric conditions were very similar here. Some modeling studies support the idea that similar regional cooling and circulation changes occurred here in the United States during this period. Now, the alarming part is that it is unavoidable, according to her. And she actually has models that run at a 93% accuracy. And that's what we're going to begin to hear about more and more. And I'm surprised we really didn't have more headlines going into this year, because we are starting to see serious stresses around the globe. And now, it's not only crops, but we have had significant alterations in the climate in a lot of places. Now, I'm not one who believes that this is something necessarily that is controllable, man-made, or stoppable. I do not believe that having any kind of taxation system is going to put any limit to it. In fact, I think it's just some sort of form of control. But, you know, I'm willing to admit things have changed in my general area, at least. I know that we've had much, much longer summers. We've gained about a month on the end of each end of the growing season. And we've had a significant change, longer, cooler summers. A lot of rain, whereas I live in an area which consistently would get droughts through July. So we are having some changes. I can definitely admit that. We were actually planting in the ground a whole month before any of my grandparents would have thought was sane or rational. So we are having these changes. But that's in the short run. That is because what we're doing actually right now is ending out the solar cycle. And it's not as though it's something that's just happening in a corner. Even NASA's coming out and talking about it. You know, NASA Science on their government website actually was coming out and discussing the solar minimum. And he said that it's a regular part of a sunspot cycle. The sun is heading toward a solar minimum right now. So the sunspot counts were relatively high in 2014, but now they're sliding toward a low point expected in 2019 or 2020. While intense activity such as sunspots, solar flares subside during solar minimum, that doesn't seem the sun becomes more dull. Solar activity simply changes form. For instance, he says during solar minimum, we can see the development of long-lived coronal holes. They're vast regions of the sun's atmosphere where the sun's magnetic field opens up and allows streams of solar particles to escape the sun as the fast solar wind. So one thing also right now that they're neglecting right there, because he made a statement saying that it's casual or it's normal, and he really was not neglecting that what is happening is a grand solar minimum, because what we have is the end of the sun cycle. Now, Zarkova's model is not only supported by sunspot numbers and solar activity, but it's also being supported by other solar study fields. So we also see NASA. But what we see, magnetohydrodynamics and helioseismology, in fact, the resulting data plots from these fields are so close to Zarkova's model prediction that the model could as well be based on either of those. So this model is not functioning in isolation from related science, but it is, in fact, harmonizing quite well with it. So we're seeing the Dalton extended minimum that happened from 1790 to 1830 is evidently an example of a Geissberg minimum, while the deep and protracted Maunder minimum, that was the one that we discussed already from 1645 to 1715, that was the previous grand minimum. So it's been roughly 350 years since the onset of the Maunder minimum, and that's over 200 years since the Dalton minimum began. But she also noted a moderate Geissberg minimum in the earliest part of the 20th century as well. So the periodicity of the cycle seems to be holding. But the entire gist of it is that all three main cycles are entering minimum phase, beginning with the end of this current solar cycle, cycle 24. So cycle 25 will be even lower than 24, with 26 being nearly flatlined. Cycle 27 will begin to show a few signs of life, then there will be a gradual rise to full activity over several more solar cycles, even as the last three cycles have slowly decreased in levels. This means that the bottom of the extended or grand minimum should run from 2020 to 2053. So it's not going to last.
I see this devil was muting the microphone. I've been teaching and teaching and teaching. The devil's been muting and muting and muting. I tell you what, brothers and sisters, this devil is something else. He is something else. He is something else. As we've been teaching, I'm thinking I'm on the whole time. I haven't gotten a text message saying that they were muting my mics. But I guess we're hitting them too hard. But anyway, I digress from that, because this I expected such. But what you just heard is things are being changed. Things are being changed. This devil, he knows it. And all of nature is being aimed at him. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that nature would be called, the armed forces of God would be called in to make war against this man. And God would use the power of the sun and the magnetic force of the moon to wage war on this beast here on earth. So you're seeing them stuff. Why is NASA so enamored with the sun now? Why is NASA sending space probes close to the sun? Why is NASA, with billions and billions of dollars that's needed to rebuild infrastructure and feed the poor, why are they so enamored with outer space now? Why are they so enamored with the arm in the space now? Because they know prophecy. They know the time is against them. They know that we are living in the end of a cycle, just like this guy said, the cycle that we're at the end of is the cycle of Yaqub. He had a limited time to rule, a limited time to bring about his thoughts, and now that time has come to an end, and you're seeing nature in full rebellion against him. See, for 6,000 years, he was given dominion over nature and man, and also over the other kinds of the man. And now you see, from the black man to the red man to the yellow man to the brown man, they're all in rebellion. You see events that are taking place around the world with nature that you've never seen before. You see it on earth and out of space because we're at the end of something, Elijah Muhammad says, and I'll read it again. We are living in a great day of God and man. Allah now desires to take for himself to reign over the nations of the earth. So with that being said, Muhammad says, this is a great day. So this is a great day. The passing away of one world and the coming in of another world. We have suffered under the evil and that the devil was made for. Up until this very minute, he wants to do all the evil that he can do regardless to the Bible and the Holy Quran teaching that Allah will reward him and me for every good act or good work. Everything, not most things, not some things, not part of the thing, but everything which is encompassing of all things. Everything is being changed from the old to a new thing. But the thing is, you have to qualify. All right? All praise is due to Allah. So what we're looking at is the transformation. This is what the Bible teaches you, that a new heaven and a new earth would come. We are looking at the signs of it in progress, but you don't understand this. And so God goes to war. He declares war on a man for declaring war on you and me. See, this white man is, he's very, very arrogant, very evil. And he can let you go. He can put you in a land of your own, but he refuses to. And this is why God said, go to him and say, give us a territory. Don't go by. Go and ask him for it. Because if he don't give it to you, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. That's the burden on his back, not on yours. You did your part. I want you to listen. So now God goes to work and breaks this white man back. Because listen, I want to reemphasize something to you all. I think you better get acquainted, for your Muslims, I think you better get acquainted with the Constitution and the bylaws of the Nation of Islam if you are a Muslim, which is what the Muslims want and what the Muslims believe. If you don't know that, you need to learn it, okay? But now I'm talking to the mass audience that are listening here in America and around the globe. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, he has come and found us. Who? Who has come and found us? God. Now listen to what he says. Now he who? God wants to take you and me home again. Well, Elijah Muhammad, that's not a simple thing when this man has the yoke on us, when this man has chains on us, when this man has his binding civilization on us, preventing us from a separation, preventing us from leaving him. How does God free us from this beast? Elijah Muhammad answers. He wants to take you and me home again by going to war with the enemy. Uh-oh. Now, God is going to go to war with this beast. And since the forces of nature are his armed forces, then it should be no surprise to you that he is calling them into action against this man to remove him. Is that not right? So Muhammad says, in order to get the prodigal son thinking of a home, so not a temporary but a permanent home, what did Allah do? He went to work on the land that he was in. That's why you see the snowstorms, the blizzards, the rains, the mudslides, the earthquakes, the volcanic eruptions, the super volcanoes, the geysers, or whatever. You see the hurricanes, the tornadoes, the lightning that'll blind you, the floods. He says he went to work on the land that he was in. In that land, the book says, a great famine arose, and the poor boy became in want. We are looking at that right now. This is why they're telling you about what's going on. This is why they're telling you about crop failures. This is why they're telling you about bread lines. This is why the food stamps are being cut. This is why we warned you of all these things. Housing being cut. Energy aid being cut. Right? The man can find money for war, but he can't find money to feed the people. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, and I've been reading to you from Theology of Time, and part of Our Savior Has Arrived. Our Savior Has Arrived again. And the reason I'm reading this is because Our Savior Has Arrived, we're going to close the show with this, okay? because this world is unhinged. It's going insane because of everything that is taking place. The judgment is so heavy upon these people that they can do anything. That's why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad warned you to stay away from large crowds of white people. And remember, I played a clip not too long ago where even the white man is saying the same thing, stay away from the large crowd. Right? Because they see something coming. But this book, as we close out of the last chapter of the last official book written by the last messenger of God at his last appearance of his last Savior's Day. Huh, that's a lot of last, isn't it? And it is a message in that last chapter on the last page that is given to the people that the last messenger was sent to awaken. Okay? And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, you notice that our black people, especially here in America, have become sold to nothing in the world but sport and play. This is the way that people were of Lot and Noah. They were sold to sport and play, and they hated the teachings of those righteous prophets. And the day of their doom came, unexpected to them because they did not heed their warnings. So here it is today, 24 hours a day. Stop right there. When Elijah Muhammad was saying these things, there were not 24-hour sports shows. There was not ESPN. There was not a Fox News or sports and all this stuff. He is talking about it this day and time. You understand? So that they can keep you occupied with foolishness like court TV and sport TV. I hope you're listening to what I'm saying. So, because I'm getting to a point here, as we go off there, you're going to give me a couple minutes. You're going to give me, you gave the devil your life, you're going to give me a couple minutes of it. Because this can do nothing but refine and help you. Right? So he says, this is the way the people were of Lot and Noah. They were sold to sport and play, and they hated the teachings of those righteous prophets. And the day of their doom came, unexpected to them, because they did not heed their warnings. So it is today. 24 hours a day, they are trying to have sport and play and talking over foolish things, spending their time in foolishness. So we have to look at this day and time because this is when this is going on today. Is that not right? So he goes and says, I fear of an evil day overtaking my people here in America soon. True. The world is warning you now. And you act as though the white people can help it. Stop right there. What are they warning you about? Crop failures. Didn't you just hear this man talk about crop failures? The impending solar flares. The sunspots. What's going on in space. He's telling you about the storms that's going on Earth. They're talking about a unheard of debt situation of well over, and I believe, at least twice as much as $248 trillion in global debt. They're talking about a nation that is bankrupt and that is losing a trade war. They're talking about massive unemployment, homeless and hunger going across America and around the globe. All right? True. The world is warning you now. You're not taking the warning serious. So you ignoring the heart of what they're telling you because you don't want your master to fall. But you can't stop it because they can't stop it. The world is warning you now, and you act as though the white people can help it. But they are telling you now that unemployment keeps mounting, and they can do nothing about it. They are warning you that you are going to get hungry too. Crop failures, remember that? And the bankruptcy of businesses. They are warning you that you are going to get hungry too, but you are not trying to take it with sincerity. That they are telling you the truth. You are like a child who cries to his mother for bread and milk whether there is any in the kitchen or not. So this is you, black man and black woman, I'm talking to you. So this is you, a big old grown child who has been nursed and fed by the white people and sheltered by them, and you think you will always have this from them. But no, sir. Remember the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. At last, the rich man died, and in his death of poverty, he came to suffer the same thing that Lazarus suffered, being deprived of good homes and luxury of all kinds. This will be taken in this day. What day? The day of 24-hour sport and talk. millionaires committing suicide, right? Because they're seeing their wealth destroyed. They're seeing something coming over the near horizon that will level them to the ground, and they will be at the level of their ex-slaves economically. And they can't take that. And they're telling you this on CNBC and MSNBC in all kind of subtle ways, but you don't want to hear it because you're in love with this beast society. But Muhammad assured you that this will be taken in this day and time. And he says to those of you who hold out and hold firm and hold strong, but the righteous will flourish